Do count a blessing to be here tonight. I talked to my wife on the way up. Man, it'd be amazing to come up through this scenery in the daytime to actually see all the leaves changing. But we had a very good drive up tonight, about an hour. So I do count it a blessing to be here this evening. Going to be sharing some personal things tonight. We open up with a short story, and we're going to be looking at Matthew 18, a lot of part of that chapter. If I were to give this a title tonight, it'd be Grace That Is Sufficient. Something that I think each one of us has struggled with at some point in our lives is being able to show enough grace to those around us. We've all experienced things in our own life where we feel that somebody's wronged us. We feel that somebody has mistreated us. We feel that they have misspoken against us in some way, shape, or fashion, whatever. And human nature sometimes kicks in. But we are new creatures. There is something different about us. And it's my prayer tonight that as we leave here, that you are challenged to be able to go out that door tonight and to be able to show grace in spite of what others have done. In spite of what others have done or said. Grace is something that, if we look at what Christ has done for each one of us, grace is something that we can hardly fathom the goodness of God's love to us to send his son for us, to shower us with his grace and his mercy. But in doing so, we need to show others that same level of grace because of what Christ has done for us. So I want to start off with the first half of the story, and I'm going to close with the last half of the story, and my children have already heard this, so they're going to hear it again, so that's all right. There's a story of a business owner that has operated a busy repair shop. This business owner prefers to have things neat and tidy, from the landscape and the flower beds to the signage to even the office appearance. The days flew by as the business continues to grow. God's grace and his blessings are evident in the business, and they are able to bless others as well. One evening, when the business was closed, a semi-truck was trying to turn around in the parking lot, and the semi-truck driver backed over a sign. And in doing so, he destroyed a flower bed, and there was some damage. So the owner of this business, having security cameras, he caught everything on camera. And in doing so, in seeing this footage, thoughts started to go through his mind. Thoughts of, how can you be such a bad driver? You have this whole parking lot, plenty of room to turn around, and you manage to hit one of three signs in the parking lot. This driver should not have his license. He is absolutely horrible. So what happens? Sometimes bitterness and frustration and anger start to swirl through this person's mind. So why, the question in this person's mind is, why would he do that? But that's where I want to pause the story. I'm going to pause that story. We're going to look at Matthew 18 here. Before we get to there, I have a few verses to share. John 1, verse 17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." This topic of grace is very, I think, fragile to each one of us, because we've each experienced it in a different way. We've each experienced God's grace in a different way. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 and 10, it says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath life and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." So the question I have for each one of you tonight is, what is your definition of grace, and how do you perceive that you should show grace to others in real life circumstances and situations? When the rubber meets the road, so to speak, how do you show grace to others? Does grace matter in your life? Matthew 18, we're going to be looking at verses 23 to 35. And this is a parable that Jesus gave, and there is multiple people involved, and we'll get to each and every one here in a bit as we read it. But Matthew 18, starting at verse 23, and it says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass." I've read this scripture multiple times. I've studied it before, and each time I've studied it, I get a better understanding of what our Heavenly Father has done for us, His compassion and His grace for us. He opens up, Jesus is using this analogy, this parable here of a king, somebody who is set on a throne, somebody who is above all. He's in authority, and in that authority, he has subjects underneath him. One of those subjects owes him money. And I want to get to how much he owed him here in just a minute. I want to share two more verses here. Isaiah 43, verse 25. "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." Remember these verses as we go on tonight, from the king to the servant one and servant two, and even the servants that are watching. Remember these verses. Hebrews 10, verse 16. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." And again, as I was studying this and looking over this passage of scripture again, I was quickly reminded of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. What Jesus Christ did for each one of you on the cross. He didn't have to, but he did, because he loved each and every one of us. And Jesus sharing this parable here, we go to verse 24. This is when he starts bringing these servants in, or these subjects that owe him money. And verse 24, this servant is brought in that owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents in today's dollars is right around $10 million, which it's a lot of money for anybody. It's a lot of money, $10 million. So this servant owed the king $10 million. In accumulating such debt, looking at my own life, looking at each one of our lives, it's just another testament not to have that over us. But the king clearing his plate, trying to clear his plate, wanting to get all the debts owed to him, brings this servant in, and this servant has nothing to offer. He can't repay anything. So the king, in his authority, he demands everything. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, what does he demand of us in return for our debt? I pose it as a question. He doesn't ask us anything. He already paid the price. This servant has owed 10,000 talents, $10 million worth, and he couldn't pay a thing. So I wondered, as a man, as a husband, as a provider, if I were to go before my debtor, we have a mortgage on our house, and if the bank were to say, you know what, we need that paid today, what were I to say? I don't have it. I will work for it. I will pay it off. What were you to say if somebody demanded your debt to be paid? I will work for it. I will pay it off. It's in each of our nature to work. It's in each of our nature to pay our debts. This servant had nothing other than his labor. Before we go on to verse 26, I want to share an analogy of ice, a chunk of ice, because this chunk of ice is like each of our lives when we owe somebody something, or when we are living in sin and we try to hide it. We are like a glacier. We are like a glacier. Bear with me just for a second. We are like a glacier that is calving. We're breaking things off. That ice chunk breaks off. And as that ice chunk breaks off, what usually happens to that ice chunk? The bottom becomes the top. We are exposed for what we are, for who we are, for our sins. The more we try to hide our debt, the more we try to hide our sins, it becomes exposed. I've watched some pretty fascinating videos on glaciers and the breaking apart, and it's just, to me, it's fascinating. To you, yes, whatever. To me, it's fascinating. But I use that as a spiritual analogy here tonight of, let's not hide anything. Nothing in our life. We're called to live a holy life, to live a life that is righteous, and don't hide anything. Because when that is exposed, how does that look for us? We are human. I understand. We are human. We're going to make mistakes. But let's not be like the servant one here. There's two servants here. Let's not be like the servant and rack up all that debt, rack up all that sin, and live a life that is not according to Scripture. I want to move to verse 26 and what this servant does. Verse 26, I'm going to read it. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He was about to be thrown in jail. He was about to be, as a provider for a family, to have my way of provision taken away. You brothers, I don't know how you would act or react if you have your way of provision to take away from your family. I don't know. But this servant fell down. He worshipped the king. Jesus uses this analogy of, I believe we're supposed to fall down and we're supposed to seek his compassion on the sins in our life, in the debt that we carry, because that debt can be taken away in a heartbeat. But the servant, again, he fell down. He worshipped him. So he was respecting this king's authority. He was respecting this king's position, and he says, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. I asked this question. I'm always full of questions, so I have many more here tonight. So I asked this question, what should this servant expect from the king? I mean, this servant chose to take money, to take whatever from this king. So this servant owe this king money. So what did this servant expect? So I asked myself as I was looking at verse 26, This question arose in my mind. What is my heart like when I come before my Heavenly Father's throne of grace, when I feel that I need to owe Him something? When He is there to take away all my sins, all my heartaches, all my struggles, everything that I have, He's there. I respect His authority. I respect His sovereignty. I respect His holiness. I respect His righteousness as a king. He is my master. He is my Lord and Savior. Verse 27, it says, "Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." Now, this king, most kings in Bible times, were they quick to forgive? Were they quick to just move on? Were they quick to just... That would ruin their position. It would ruin their authority if they were to do what this king did. I am the king. I demand all this. And this king had compassion. He had compassion in his heart. He had love in his heart for this servant because of what this servant shared with the king. The servant poured out his heart. The king listened, just as our Lord and Savior listened. Compassion, sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. Do I have compassion just as this king has? Do I have compassion towards one another, towards my brothers and sisters, as this king does? And Jesus using this analogy. He forgave him his debt. And that leads right into the next servant and what this other servant did. Are you quick to forgive debt that somebody owes you? Or what you feel somebody owes you? Are you quick to forgive? Are you quick to say, you know what? In the realm of eternity, don't worry about it. That $20 for tolls or that $20 for... Don't worry about it. Are you quick to forgive when somebody has said something about you that was wrong? Are you quick to forgive when you feel that they owe you something? To forgive means that you have a heart like the King, like our Lord and Savior. To forgive and to show mercy, you have a heart that has compassion, has mercy. The mercy of our Lord and Savior, what Jesus Christ has shown to us, is, again, I don't know on this side, until we meet Him face to face, if we are going to ever truly understand His mercy and His grace. Because it abounds. He's full of it. Down here, this earth, we forgive. We try to show mercy and grace, just like the king did here in verse 27. We do the best of our abilities. But I don't know that we're going to totally understand mercy until we meet Him face to face. The king showed love despite what the servant owed. The king showed compassion despite what the servant cost him. The king, in his heart, deep down, truly forgave, even though it cost him among his peers. This is a parable. Jesus used this as a parable. There's no story after this to what happened to the king. We don't know. Most kings, once you give in, you are weak, you are out the door. This king resembled our Heavenly Father. This king, Jesus using this analogy, this king represents Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Question, again, I pose lots of them. The question, when others see you forgive and show grace, even though they may know the full story of what has happened in certain situations, what does that say about your walk with God? When others see that you can show grace to others in spite of what others have done or said to or about you, what does that say about your faith and how you perceive God's grace to you? I've heard this said, I forget where I picked this up, but how you show grace to others in spite of what they've done to you is exactly how you perceive God shows his grace to you. So your level of grace that you show others and forgiveness sometimes is exactly the same level of grace that you perceive that God is giving you. Does that make sense? Grace poured out because of what Jesus Christ has done to you. I also wondered in my life, I pose this just as a challenge, how many times have you done exactly what the servant did in verse 26, and you ask God to show you grace and mercy even though you did not deserve it? In spite of what each one of us have done, God still continues to show his grace and his mercy to you each and every day. He pours it out. He pours it out among us, to us, through us, and expects nothing in return. Hard to fathom. As a human, it is extremely hard to fathom sometimes the amount of grace that our Heavenly Father shows us. It's difficult. Romans 11, verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. When we show grace to others, just as the king did to the first servant here, there should be no strings attached. Show grace. You show forgiveness, you show grace, and you should expect nothing in return. Because that's exactly what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does to us. He expects nothing of us in return other than to follow him, to serve him. Grace is one of the freest gifts we have to offer to others that can win others to Christ. Grace. The king in this parable here that Jesus shared, the king showed grace and forgiveness in spite of what the servant owed him. Now we move on to what I pose this as a question. What are you doing with God's grace? And this ties in with what this first servant did with the grace that he was shown. What are you doing with the grace that God has showered over you, that has shown over you? Please, please, please do not act as the first servant here. We'll find out in verse 28. It says, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. I had a hard time looking at the first servant and what the forgiveness that he just experienced, and then for him to turn around and to treat somebody else the way he did. How can you do that? You've just been shown mercy and compassion and forgiveness. Your debt is wiped clean. And you go and you lay your hand on another brother. It says in verse 20, he grabbed him by the throat. 100 pence is what the second servant owed the first servant, which is $122.47. The same servant that was just pardoned owed $10 million. He grabs somebody by the neck that owes him $122.47. I had a hard time understanding. You were just forgiven $10 million, and you grab somebody by the neck that owes you pennies compared to what you just owed somebody else, and they forgave you. They completely wiped your slate clean. Has that person, did that first servant truly understand what forgiveness and grace and mercy truly is? I don't think he did. I think he feared his life was in danger. Therefore, he fell to his knees in front of the king. Therefore, the king had compassion, but he didn't truly fully understand what the grace and the mercy is that he was given. I was thinking, and sometimes maybe I have too many questions. Sometimes I maybe I think too much about what is being said here, but how many times has something or someone done wrong to me and I get angry or bitter towards them and I lash out just like the first servant did? What choice do I have? What choice do you have? I could step back and show grace, just as Jesus illustrates here. When someone comes to me and offers me forgiveness for something I've done or said, that should embolden me to pass that on to others. When you've experienced the forgiveness of Christ, that should embolden you to share that and to pass that on to somebody else. There's been times in my life, and I'm just being personal here, there's been times in my life where people have said things about me that are blatantly false, not true. And what's the first reaction we have? I just want to go tell that person the truth. The older I get, I'm just maybe speaking from experience or age or I don't know, you take it how you want. The older I get, the more I believe it's best just to be quiet. God is the judge. Pray for that person. No matter what they do or say to you or against you, it is out of your control to take matters into your own hands. Don't be like the first servant. This first servant became so enraged, he grabbed the man by the throat. So I was challenged because, you know what, we've experienced grace in different levels in our life. But the older you get a better understanding of the grace and the goodness of God and what Jesus Christ did on the cross for each and every one of us. And in doing so, we should pause when somebody says something or does something to us that we feel is not right. Take pause. Because I challenge myself to take pause, pray about it. What does God's word say about it? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Is he telling you to go to that person or to ask for forgiveness and show that person grace? Take pause. I want to encourage each and every one of you. There will be times in your life where somebody has wronged you or somebody has done something against you that is false, that is not true, that hurts. Take pause. Pray about it. And in the long run, you will find a peace that only God can give you. The peace that the first servant, we thought, experienced before we started reading verse 28. Verse 29, this is what happens when each one of us have a choice. Each one of us have just shared that, take a pause. Each one of us have many people around us, watching how we act, our tone, how we speak to one another. There are many, many people watching your actions and your words. Verse 29, Jesus brings this out here that there are many watching. So, verse 29, it says, "And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee.'" There were others watching when this was going on. This second servant wanted the same grace that the first servant was shown by the king. This second servant fell down at his feet and besought him. He pleaded with him, cried out in his heart, "Have patience." Go to verse 30, it says, "And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt." He didn't offer compassion. He didn't offer forgiveness. He didn't show grace. He didn't show mercy. Threw him into prison. I struggle with understanding what was going through this first servant's mind and how he could react in such a hateful, angry way. He had no compassion towards the second servant. He had no forgiveness. But then you go to verse 31. This is where we find out that there are many watching our actions. Verse 31 says, "So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done." So they had compassion on the second servant. I would imagine this second servant was meek. He was somebody who worked hard, just like the other servants that were watching. But his fellow servants, they had compassion in their hearts. They cared about the second servant. Do you think they cared about the second servant more than the first servant? I don't need any responses. But the second servant, he owed $122.47, whatever it was. They all would have known what the first servant owed, $10 million, roughly. I'm going to read a few verses, other passages of scripture here. Hebrews 8, verse 12. "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." James 1, verse 19, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." The first servant deceived himself. He was shown grace and mercy by the king, the one with ultimate authority, and he ruined his chance. We'll find later on, he ruined his chance by going and laying his hands on the second servant. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9 says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." The second servant ended up being a fool. He got angry because the second servant couldn't pay him, and he put his hands on his throat. Another reason for each and every one of us to step back in certain situations in life: don't let anger control our life. And let go. Another example to be non-resistant. Just step back. Let it go. Let it go. Verse 32, as we move on. I'm going to jump back to verse 31. Just for a second. I don't like to jump back. But so when... against him was his fellow servants. Parents, how you react in certain situations in life, your children see. Brothers, how you react when somebody cuts you off on the highway, your children see. And other drivers around you see. How we react in certain situations in life. There are many, many people watching us, what we do. It's again another, should be an encouragement to each and every one of us to live tempered lives, to live holy lives, to live lives that are meek, full of mercy. Okay, verse 31. After the servants had told the king, again, let's not forget where this king, what this king's position was. The Lord, this king, says, "Then his Lord, and after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me." Again, the king is remembering the compassion and the forgiveness that he showed the first servant. The king reminds him all the compassion and the forgiveness and the mercy that he showed the first servant. And he challenges him in verse 33. It says, "Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" Question mark. He posed it as a question. It's a challenge. You've been shown mercy. You've been shown forgiveness. You've been shown forgiveness in everything. Aren't you supposed to pass that on to somebody else? So I pose that as a question. I pose it as a question from God to each one of us. Are you ungrateful for the grace that God has bestowed upon you? How do you treat others? I'm not saying you're ungrateful. I'm posing this question. Are we sometimes ungrateful when things arise? Do we have this ungrateful spirit about us? That, you know what? I know that I deserve. See, that word deserve makes it all about ourselves. It's not about ourselves. It's about what Christ has done for us and what we're supposed to be doing for others. That's exactly what the first servant failed to realize. It's not about us. Verse 34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. I can say, because I'm human, that there have been times in my life where I've been upset and I've been angry because I made it about myself. And I've had to go back to God and I said, God, I need a heart change because I thought I deserved this, this, and this, and I didn't deserve that. What you've given me already is more than enough, and I failed to realize what the King has done for me. And I think, honestly, we all get that way sometimes. We fail to realize, we fail to remember, that's right, he has showered me with his grace and his mercy. What happens to us is obvious in verse 34 when we make it about ourselves. There's torment in our lives when we make it about ourselves. We become selfish. We become reliable on ourselves and not God. We become angry and bitter quick. We are not quick to forgive. We're not quick to show mercy. It's exactly what happens in verse 34 there. When it says that the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. We become tormented in ourselves when we don't allow God to come in and take control of the situation and to show grace and to show mercy in spite of what others have done or said, in spite of what others what we feel that they owe us. Verse 35. Jesus ends with this, and I think it should be a challenge to each one of us because he promises us, verse 34, he promises us the torment. It says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother and their trespass. Jesus promises that. He used that for a reason. He wouldn't have said it if he didn't mean it. None of us like torment. I've had, tennis elbow here for the last 2 months. And it's hard to work on cars if your elbow is sore. That's painful. Sometimes it torments me. But that's a physical torment. There are torments that we bring on ourselves because we want to be in control. And because we don't want to show grace and show mercy because of what we perceive others owe us. The last verse there has stuck with me here ever since I've started studying this because Jesus promises us freedom. He promises us grace and mercy and freedom that the world doesn't understand. But it's up to us to make that choice. It's up to you to make that choice. I don't think anybody wants to live in torment as Jesus promises here in verse 34. We don't like that. We don't want to be in torment. We want freedom. So how do you show grace to others when somebody's done you wrong? Are you quick to forgive? Are you quick to show grace? Are you quick to show mercy? I am a work in progress. I'm human. Each one of us are human. But the challenge to me and the challenge to each one of us is to look at this passage of scripture tonight and don't be the first servant. Don't be that servant as Christ has called each one of us to be servants. Don't be that servant who has squandered what Christ has given us. He's given us an amazing opportunity to show grace and mercy to everyone around us, the local community, all those we work with, those that have wronged us. Show grace. Show forgiveness. I guarantee you, when you do, it draws you closer to Him, and you feel better because you are following God's will. You're following Scripture. I want to close with the ending of the story in a verse. The ending of the story goes as this. You see, the owner of the repair shop had two options. He could get mad. He could get angry at this driver for destroying his property. He could start to harbor bitterness and resentment towards this individual, therefore driving a wedge in their already strained relationship. Or he could choose to show grace, because the owner of this repair shop once had their CDL and hit more than one thing in their travels when driving. So what did the owner of the repair shop choose? What do you think he chose? He chose grace. The owner of that repair shop is myself. And this happened 2 months ago. 3 months ago. And I share this because I'm human. And at my first reaction to him backing over that sign was, come on, you have a whole parking lot. We work on a farm. How do you miss the parking lot and hit a sign? That was my first reaction. But I thought about it. I said, you know what? You know how many things I hit when I was driving truck? You know how many things I damaged when I was driving truck? It doesn't matter. In the realm of eternity, is it better to forgive and to show, you know what? Don't worry about it. It's a sign. It does not matter. Flower bed, we'll put more mulch in there. Don't worry about it. In my heart, I chose grace. I chose forgiveness. Now, I'm not saying that to prop myself up, because there has been times in my life where I have failed. I failed. But I use this example tonight to challenge each and every one of us to not be like the first servant. Don't do what your heart does or wants to do first. Step back and think about it. The first servant should have stepped back before he went to the second servant and said, you know what? I was just shown grace and mercy. I need to pass that on to somebody else. So in closing, I want to close with Genesis 50, verse 20. And it says, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So you, because of what Christ has done in your life, can save lives. Living out your life according to God's word will let others see if the free gift of God's grace is evident in your life. And if so, what are you doing with it? So this evening, I challenge you to show grace. You have the power to bring others into the fold, or you can easily chase them away. That is my challenge this evening, and I pray that each one of us have looked at this passage of scripture and looked at the analogy that Jesus has here. The King, our Lord and Savior, the servants, we are all servants, and we have a choice to be like the first servant and to recognize that God has shown us grace, and to not squander it as the first servant did. We are called to be higher. We are called to show grace no matter what. It is difficult in the world we live in, but show grace, show compassion, show forgiveness. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we are grateful, thankful for your word, the truth of it. I just thank you for Matthew 18 and the analogy here that Jesus used of the king and the two servants. I am thankful for our almighty King, the one who's died on the cross for our sins, who showered us with grace and mercy that we can sometimes forget what it is and how much it means to each of our lives. Bless each one of here tonight, and I just pray as a challenge that we can go forward from these doors tonight, from this building, with a renewed spirit of grace in our hearts, that those that we come in contact with, that we can shower them with it because of what Christ has done in our lives. So thank you, and bless each one as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen.